We have a great, great program going on in our church here called Grief Share. And it begins Sunday, September 9th at 6 o'clock in the evenings. This is a great ministry led by Miss Lee Steedley to help people overcome all kinds of complicating issues when you suffer loss in your life and you grieve. And it's a lot more detailed than I ever realized. And so I'm glad to say that we have a program here for the community to help. So if you are going through grief, or you know someone that suffered loss and they're going through grief, then please let them be aware of this. Ms. Steedley will be in the foyer after church today and tell you about the program. It starts up again September 9th will be the first session. And next Sunday is a special session of remembrance for people who've lost spouses, loved ones. And so please see Miss Steedley. She's the hat lady. She's right down here in the front. She's the hat lady. So you can see her. That's who she is. We're blessed to have Lee and Joe with us. I want to talk to you today about a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word I received last week. And I believe it's for you. But I want to tell you, help you relax a little bit. Be careful in what you interpret is from God. Let me say that again. Be careful in what you interpret is from God. Amen would be a good appropriated response right there. After starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work by passing by a favorite donut shop. And this morning, I accidentally drove by this donut shop, and as I approached, there was a window with all kinds of free goodies. So I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, "Lord, if it's up to you, if you want me to have any of those delicious little goodies, please create a parking spot for me directly in front of the bakery." And sure enough, on the eighth time around, there it was. God is good. Last Sunday, I was asking God for a specific word that I would know was from Him. And in my journal during the pre-service prayer time, I wrote down what I believe the Lord was saying to me. And here it is. He says, "I am here. I'm with you." Next slide. There you go. "I want you to trust me. Make your mind and your flesh be still and know that I'm God." So I felt like that's what He was saying to me. So I wrote that down. And that's clear. It's specific. And I knew it was from Him to me. After church, and we're at home, my son Andrew tells me that he received a word from the Lord that he believes was for me. It was about a paragraph. And I summarized that word into about 3 points because I believe it's a word for you. And you be the judge of that. It's in 3 parts. First part was this: be still in your worries and fears. Have I not brought you this far? I will continue to carry you. Now, that's the Spirit of the Lord speaking through a human and saying something to somebody else. The second part of that, this was the whole, I'm just summarizing the word, was be at peace. My peace Be strong in who you are. And then the third part, don't allow how you feel to keep you from what I have. I believe these three summary statements of a prophetic word that were from my son to me, I believe they're for you too. Now let's take a closer look and apply this. Number one, be still in your worries and fears. Have I not brought you this far? I will continue to carry you. This makes me think of Israel when they left Egypt on the night of the Passover. Pharaoh ordered the Israelites to leave after the last plague, the death of the firstborn. So he ordered Hebrews, get out. Moses, you and the Hebrews leave. And then later he changed his mind and sent his army to bring them back. But by now they're at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is closing up behind them. And the Hebrews did what humans tend to do, blame their leaders. That's what humans do. Let's blame the president. Let's blame the Congress. Let's blame the pastor. Let's blame somebody. Let's blame our parents. And so they did, and they said, it'd been better for us to serve the Egyptians and to die in the wilderness than to be here today. Oh, really? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. What's the next two words? Say it louder. And see the salvation of the Lord. You got to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, it's interesting, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. So literally, this is saying, stand still and see Jesus in your troubles and hold your peace. Stand, see, and see the salvation is the word Yeshua. Stand still and see Jesus in your troubles. Not after they're over, but in them. And hold your peace in your trouble, not after it's over. So the people were afraid, which people tend to get afraid when trouble happens and when a whole army is rising up and coming after behind you, planning on taking you back captive. That's a normal reaction. They're afraid. And they say basically to Moses, don't just stand here, do something. And God is saying, don't just do something, stand still. Totally opposite of what the flesh would like you to do or your mind would tell you to do. God's ways are not our ways. We want to run away from our troubles. We want to run away from our fears. Where we can just get away from it all. We want to escape. That's human. But God says in Psalm 46:1, he's a very present help in trouble. So in trouble, there is something about God that God wants you to experience who he is in a way that you never would experience him had you not had this trouble. He's a very present help where? In your trouble right now, in what you would classify, define as some troubles of your heart, some troubles of your mind, some troubles over your finances, whatever it is, God is right there. He's right there in it. You need to look for him. You need to look for him in the trouble. Lord, what are you trying to show me about yourself in this trouble? Instead of trying to pray it away, God, where are you in this? What do you want to be to me in this trouble? That's the question that you should be asking him. The Bible says in Psalm 105 that he opened the rock and water gushed out like a river. He opened a what? A hard thing. A hard place. He opened a hard place. And he manifested himself out of a hard place. Another verse says, Psalm 81, verse 16, with honey out of the rock, I'll satisfy you. Last I checked, I never saw honey coming out of a rock. God is speaking to us prophetically here, and he's saying, out of this hard place, I'm going to give you revelation, because honey represents revelation. Remember when Jonathan, Saul's son, he touched the staff, he touched his staff, and when there was a fast going on he wasn't aware of, and he dipped his staff in the honey, and he touched it, and it says it lightened his eyes. Honey speaks of revelation. God is speaking to you through this word, and he's saying, out of the hard places of your life, I'll satisfy you. I'll give you revelation about me you've never had. I'll give you revelation no one else has. I'll show you things that you will never know. Out of the rock, honey will come, enlighten your eyes, and will satisfy you. Paul discovered God's strength was in his very weakness. Oh, God, please take this messenger of Satan away from me. Please take this persecution. Every time I go into a town, I got some knotheads trying to cause me trouble. God, please help me. I'm trying to do the will of God. And every time I go somewhere, I get persecuted and persecuted from town to town and trying to do the work of the Lord. And God said, no. Because actually your strength is made perfect in, my strength made perfect in your weakness. You need this weakness because of the great revelations and insights and the things that I've given you about me that most people don't have. You need this. Well, Lord, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You walk by faith. Trust me. Out of the hard places, God will satisfy you. But it's important for us to know how to approach the rocks. How do we approach the hard places in life that we don't understand? How do we approach the troubles, the difficulties of our life? God is there, but things are lacking. God is there, but I don't understand. This still hurts. God is there. You must approach him in faith. You must approach him in trust, like we've heard several prophetic words this morning. We must approach him in trust. Like Laverne said, with even giving, we must learn to trust God, especially when he tells us to give when it's hard to give. When it makes no sense to give something that you need yourself. That's a hard place, but God's right there. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That word still is the word Rapha, the root word for healing. Means to let go, drop it, relax. No wonder we get sick when we're uptight, when we're stressed, when we're worried, when we're fearful. We open a door for the enemy to afflict our bodies. I just think it's interesting that the very root word for still, be still, is the root word for healing. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He wants you to relax. He wants you to believe he's in control. He wants you to believe he's in charge. He wants you to relax, that he has heard your request. He wants you to believe he knows what's going on. He wants you to trust. Yeah, he sees your need. He sees your hurt and your pain. He sees your body needing this and that. He's doing something. He wants you to trust him even when you don't understand. He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to cease striving. Quit running around trying to fix this and trying to fix that and throwing money at this that doesn't help anything. Or going to this doctor and you're not getting any better. He wants you to be still and know him in a way that you have yet to perceive. He is God Almighty, El Shaddai, Lord of hosts, the Alpha and the Omega. He is your healer. He is your righteousness. He's your sanctification. He is your peace. He is your shepherd. He's all of that. He's your provider. He's everything. He's that. That's who he is. We know that, but we don't know it. We know it. We speak it, but we don't know it. Not enough to have transformation in here. We know all the answers. We can preach good sermons. We can tell people, but it hasn't changed our heart yet. It's not gone down deep enough. We don't know. We say it, we quote this scripture, oh, be still and know that I'm God. That's what I'm doing. No, you don't know he's God. You still think you're God. You don't know he's God. You don't know he's God until you can be still and let go. Let it drop. Unless he tells you to do something, you don't need to do anything. Boy, that was a amen, Pastor. I needed to hear that word. Well, that's a fact. Well, thank you. When we're stressed, when we're worried, when we're afraid, it opens up doors to sickness and disease. The enemy says, I got a right to be here because faith's not here. And if faith's not here, I can step in. It's my territory. But if faith is there, he says, I can't get in there. I'm trying, but I can't get in. But if faith's not, faith in God's not there, no, I can come right on in. I got a legal right to be here. And so, a lot of that happens. What does the doctor tell you to do? First time, you know, you get sick with something and you go to the doctor, first thing he tells you, you're going to have to take off and rest. What we should have been doing before. You're going to have to take off, you're going to have to be still for a while. I ain't going to go lay in the bed 3 or 4. Well, that's what you're going to have to do. You take this medicine, but primarily you're going to have to rest, because in rest is how your body gets healed. I thought it was interesting that in the Old Testament, the priest who worked in the tabernacle and in the temple, God gave specific instructions for what they were to wear. He says to the priest, he says, they shall wear linen trousers and linen turbans on their heads. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. You ain't going to wear anything that causes sweat in my temple. You're serving the Lord. You ain't going to wear anything that causes sweat. Linen turbans represent that our head is not to sweat with worry, fear, and anxiety. Linen trousers represents that our bodies, our legs, are not to carry burdens that God has never intended for us to carry. Jesus first shed his blood where? Gethsemane, where he sweat. He sweat, capillaries busted, mingled with sweat, human sweat, and his perfect blood is the first place he shed his blood. Where was it? In a garden. Where was the first place? Man sweat in a garden. After he sinned, took matters in his own hands, made his own decision, and sinned against God. And God said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to toil now to get your food. Before, it was just given to you, but now it's going to be by the sweat of your brow. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word for sweat means to agitate, to vex, to quiver, or to shake with fear. Work is not a curse. Don't think work is a curse. It's not a curse. Adam and Eve were working in the garden, tilling the garden, taking care of the garden. Work is a blessing. But work without the blessing of God is a curse. Work with stress and worry and anxiety and fear and all of that is not the blessing of the Lord. Jesus came in the garden and he sweat his blood, redeeming us from the stress that goes into our minds. You may be lying awake at night, all of a sudden, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're vexed. Worry. You're wondering about the future. How are you going to take care of this bill? What are you going to do about this problem? How are you going to deal with this conflict? What if? And 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're supposed to be in the best time of your sleep, the best rest you're supposed to have, you suddenly are vexed by demons. And your mind is sweating. And that is the sweat in your thinking that Jesus came to redeem you from. First prophetic word was, be still in your worries and your fears. How can I do that? Well, provision's already been made. The blood that Jesus shed at Gethsemane, you take that by faith and apply it. I am not to be afraid. I'm not to worry. 365 times, fear not, the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry. The birds are taken care of. Don't worry about anything. Philippians 4, be anxious over nothing. And it's interesting, the Greek word for nothing means absolutely nothing. 1st prophetic word, be still in your worries. Have I not brought you this far? I will continue to carry you. Now, here's a question for you. Is that a prophetic word for you right now? If it is, then you claim it. Write it down. Meditate on it. And especially if you're getting vexed in the middle of the night and waking up with all kinds of worries and stuff like that, speak this prophetic word out loud. God said, be still in my worries and fear. And he's brought me this far. He's going to continue to carry me. I will not fear. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my house and get out of my mind. You have a prophetic word. It's customized. You needed this. You're here today. You needed this. You grab it and you take it. You write it down. You meditate on it. God will unfold more to you. Second prophetic word. Sounds similar, but there's much more depth to it. Be at peace. My peace. Be strong in who you are. Every born from above person, every born again person has been given Jesus' very own peace. He said so. He said it. His words, the whole Bible is the prophetic word, and it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That was Jesus' words to us. It's actually a command. When he says, let not your heart be troubled, it's a command. But I cannot let not for you. You cannot let not for me. You can only let not for you. Our part is to believe and to receive and trust Jesus' words. This is what he said. He wrote it in his book for us so we'd have it. And our part is to believe it and trust his word and not to allow. I said not to allow. Not to allow our hearts to be troubled or afraid. Well, how can anybody do that that lives in this world? Well, you go talk to Jesus about it because he's the one that said it. If he tell you let not, then you can let not. We're not trying to get his peace. We have his peace anointing if we're born from above. He said, my peace I give to you. You have it. Well, I don't feel it. Well, did Jesus lie or? He said, I give it to you. Here. Now, his peace is our anointing. It's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of peace. If our hearts are troubled, then his peace that he gave us is not flowing. It's not working. It's nothing wrong with his peace. It's something in us who have not fully received it. We're not letting it flow. Do you know that you're at your very best when you're at peace? Is that true? You are more creative when you're in his peace. One of my favorite verses of scripture is Isaiah 30, 15, which reveals the key to strength. It says this in Isaiah 30, 15. In returning and rest, you will be saved. You shall be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. In quietness and confidence is your strength. In returning or repentance and coming to the place where you rest this issue with God. I rest in your promise, God. I trust in your promise, God. And then quiet confidence. I may not know how, and I may not know when, and I may not know the details, but I have a quiet confidence now in me because I've returned to putting him as Lord of my life. I've repented of worry and fear, and I brought myself to a place of rest where I rest, R-E-S-T, I resist everything Satan is throwing at me. Oh, yeah, every fiery dart. Yeah, they're always coming. They're coming from behind, from back, from beneath, from below, everywhere, from your friends, from your family, from yourself, from the enemy, from everywhere. Fiery darts are all, but I'm resting. I'm resting. I'm resisting everything Satan throws at me with the shield of faith. No, no, no. It's too late for that, devil. But I've returned to my place at his feet, and I've let Jesus be on the throne of my life. Over my circumstances, over the outcome. Doesn't matter what the outcome is, he's Lord. I rest in him. Now, as a result of that happening in my life, I have a quiet confidence that people look at and wonder, especially when you're in trouble, when you're in trials and they know about it, and they say, how are you able to be so peaceful? How are you able to not be so anxious and all just tied up in knots over this thing? And you say, I have a quiet confidence. God who brought me this far He's going to continue to carry me. He's faithful. How and when is none of my business, but I trust Him. In returning in rest, you have this quiet confidence that's actually your strength. People admire that. They look at you and they go, wow, I want that. And so you have to say, I'm not going to join the rat race of the world. I'm not going to be like the rest of the Christians. I'm not going to join the rat race of the world. I have more strength from God to be able to deal with that. And the pressures are still there. The darts are still coming. And the Bible says in Romans 11, it says, for the Scripture says. Everybody say, the Scripture says. Here's what the Scripture says, God's Word. Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. You got a promise from God, you won't be put to shame. You got a promise from God, if you believe Him and you believe it, you won't be disappointed. Now, notice it says, for the Scripture says. Where does the Scripture say that? Because this is, quote, Paul is quoting this in Romans, so he's obviously looking at Old Testament Scripture. So the Old Testament Scripture that he is quoting in the New Testament is this, Isaiah 28:16, where it says, whoever believes in Him will not act hastily. When you really want to know whether or not you're believing in Him, you won't be in a hurry. You won't be hasty. You'll be relaxed. You'll be still on the inside. It's like the snow globe, you know, you used to shake and all the stuff finally settles. You'll be settled on the inside. On the outside, all hell breaking loose. But on the inside, you're still. And Paul took this Old Testament Scripture and he applied it in Romans 10, where he talks about how a person gets saved. When a person gets saved and puts their trust in the Lord, they're not going to be disappointed. You ain't going to be disappointed. Put your trust in the Lord, you ain't going to be disappointed. God keeps His promises. So we know Satan's after our peace. Our adversary is after our peace. The peace that Jesus gave us. And Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says, I'm going to do whatever I can do to shake you up, to rattle you, to make you doubt God, to make you question God. I'm going to shake your whole house. And you'll curse God to His face. Some people do. Just reveals they didn't really trust in Him. He let something that they valued be taken, and they curse God. Satan's after your peace. Remember what Moses told the people at the Red Sea? Hold your peace. Why? Because Satan's he's trying to grab it. Give me that. Give me that. He said, you ain't having it. It's mine. Don't hand it over. You get a bad doctor's report, don't hand over your peace. You got too much month bills at the end of your paycheck to pay. You don't know how you're going. Don't hand over your peace. I'm not saying you're denying that there's trouble there. Sure, there's trouble there. But God makes a way. Didn't we just sing last week? He's a way maker. Even out of the rock, the hard places, God will show you things. Don't act hastily. Don't act like the world. The world acts like there's no God. We're told, God spoke to us very clearly. He said, you be still. When the whole world is shaking. And God says, there's going to be a day I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Yeah, I'm going to shake the government. I'm going to shake countries. I'm going to shake all the politics. I'm going to shake all the hospitals and the medicine and all the doctors. And I'm going to shake the financial market. I'm going to shake everything that can possibly be shaken so people will finally see there's one thing that never is shaken, and that's the kingdom of God. That's why I said seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the place where God rules. It can be in your heart. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. It can be in your heart if you let him rule. Doesn't have to be out there. Doesn't have to be the millennium. That's all there too. But the kingdom, he said, is best when it's in you. And he rules. And he says, I'm God and you're not. So be still. And we say, yes, sir. That's all I needed to hear. My circumstances didn't change. I still got bills to pay. I still got to deal with the doctor's report. I still got to deal with this and that. Yeah. God knows that. But you be still and you hold your peace. Hold your peace. Bible says if we guard our heart and our mouth, when things go wrong, God will guard everything else. I know this. But sometimes I act like I don't know it. Confession. We're told to guard two things in the Bible. One, guard your heart, Proverbs 4:20. The other one, guard your mouth, Proverbs 21:23, and a million other verses. Guard your heart and guard your mouth. In 2 Kings, there's a great story, which I love, of a woman who knew that Elijah was a man of God, and she was evidently a well-to-do woman and her husband, and so Elijah had a preaching circuit, and he would come through town every so often, and she said, you know what, let's make a prophet's chamber, let's make a room here so that when he comes through town, he don't have to go find someplace, he can stay here at our house. Let's bless the man of God. So they did. And they became good friends, and he would stop and stay there in that prophet's chamber, in that room, whenever he was passing by. And one year, the Lord told him to tell her that she was going to have a child. She didn't have a child. She was barren. And he said, this time next year, you're going to have a child when I come back through. And sure enough, she did. And so years go by, and the little boy is still small enough to sit on her lap. One day, he gets this terrible headache. They don't know what to do. He's out there working in the field with his father, and his father says what every father, every man says when the child comes to you, go to your mother. And he did, and she held him on his lap, and the boy died. We don't know, aneurysm, we have no idea what it was, but he died suddenly. And this amazing woman knew this principle right here. And God liked it, this story, so much that he put it in the Bible for us to see and use it and learn from it. And so the boy dies, and she takes her little boy. Sure, she's grieving. Sure, I can't imagine. And she goes, and she lays the little boy up in the prophet's chamber up on Elijah's bed. Elijah's not there. And then she says, tells one of the servants, go saddle the donkey. I'm going to go see the man of God. They must have noticed something's just not right. Are you okay? And her words were, it's well. Literally, because it's in the Hebrew language, she said, shalom. That's what she said. And so her husband hears about, you know, she's getting a donkey and you can go see what's going on. It's not a festival time. It's not a new moon. What? And her husband, she doesn't even tell her husband the boy is dead. She doesn't even say. And he asked her, why are you going to see the man of God? And all she says, don't worry about it, trust me. It's well. It's shalom. It's shalom. Her heart, it must be breaking inside. She must be deeply, deeply grieving. But she says, it's well. She saddles the donkey, she's gone, and she meets Elijah's servant, Gehazi, before she sees the man of God. And Gehazi looks at her, and he can tell, too, something's just not right. And he says, is everything okay? And she says, it's well, it's shalom. Let me to the man of God. Bring me to the man of God. It's shalom. And he said, he presses her a little bit more. Is everything okay with your husband? He thought, maybe your husband's sick, or maybe he died. No, it's shalom. That's all she will say. It's shalom. It's shalom. She comes to the man of God, and even Elijah at that moment doesn't, it's not revealed to him. She's weeping. She's crying. She's grabbing his feet. And Gehazi, the servant, pulls her away from Elijah's feet. And Elijah says, leave her alone. The Lord hasn't revealed to me what's going on here yet. Leave her alone. She's grieving. And then it's revealed. Her boy is not breathing. Her boy is. Elijah goes. Sends Gehazi first. Because Elijah's older now and he can't get there as fast as Gehazi. He says, put my staff upon the boy. Doesn't know what's going to work. Sometimes you don't know. But you do what you think is the right thing to do. Gehazi went, put the staff on the boy. Nothing happened, comes back. About that time, Elijah's about to get there. He said, I did what you said, sir, but it didn't work. He's dead. Elijah says, leave me alone. And he goes up in the room. And he prays. He walks back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Got to hear from you, God. Lord, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. Lord, you didn't give this boy as a gift to this woman so you could kill him. That's not you. I know better. I know you. You're not that way. You didn't bring us this far so we'd die and perish here. No, I know better. I know better, God. Now, what am I to do? What am I to do? And somehow the Spirit of the Lord leads him to lay upon the child. And he lays upon him face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand. And he's there. We don't know how long. He's there. He's there. How long? Who cares? If you're still, you can listen to God. He'll tell you when. But if you're all worked up with activity, got to be here, got to be there. Okay, this is. You ain't going to hear God. So it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of listening. And so, you know the end of the story. The boy is revived. He brings the boy back down to her. You imagine what a party that was? Man, we ain't ever had church like that. Dead boy raised to life. Hallelujah. Man, that must have been some kind of party. It's interesting to me that when she was speaking, she guarded her words. That's a word for us. Watch your mouth. Guard your heart. Satan's out to steal the peace that Jesus said is yours. So watch your mouth. Watch your heart. What you think on. And when you don't know what to say, just say, shalom. Even if you don't feel like it, shalom.
It's interesting that that word shalom in the Hebrew, if you took the ancient Hebrew word pictures, which was the earliest form of writing, each Hebrew letter had a picture of something. It would reveal the word through pictures. And every Hebrew letter has pictures. Like Aleph is the beginning of Hebrew. It stands for strong ox. It looks like an ox when you draw it out. And so, literally, the Hebrew word shalom actually means, when you take the pictures, it actually means destroy the authority that establishes chaos. Can you put that up, please? Destroy the authority that establishes the chaos. So when you're saying shalom, what are you saying to Satan? Your authority doesn't work here. I'm not afraid. I won't fear. You ain't getting in my heart, and you ain't getting in my mouth. Your authority no longer is an authority in my life. When you say shalom to your trouble, shalom. Shalom. So you got some trouble in your life right now, just now speak it out. See it before you and say shalom. Cover it with shalom. Shalom. Like you're throwing a blanket over it. Shalom. She did not say what she felt. She spoke shalom. I confess to you that I wish I'd done this all the time, but I haven't. I had a period within the last time, a little period of time, where I was just feeling down and feeling discouraged. How the devil, you know, try to do that junk to you. And I opened my mouth up and I said things I shouldn't have said. And one thing I noticed, it didn't make me feel any better. It made me feel worse. Because I'm agreeing with the devil. He says something like, you're a failure. And I say, well, I'm a failure. Oh, well, guess what? You and him just formed a covenant. Come on, let's hold hands and walk through this failure together. Come on, let's have a beer and cry in it together. Let's play some depressing music. Come on, let's have a depression party. Satan's really good at that. Let's have a depression party. In fact, I'll even tell you some other things you're a failure at. Come on. Sit down with me. Let's talk, buddy. You ever been to the bar room of self-pity? You got to learn, and I have to learn. I'm learning. I'm human. I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning. Don't say everything you feel. Because it's not true. It's not true to say everything you feel. If you feel like you're so verbal, you got to say something, just say, shalom! People all around you will get out of the elevator real quick. Every line at Walmart, they'll get shorter. Shalom! It's better than saying something else. Shalom! It might be another Christian there turn around and say, well, shalom to you too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever situation you're facing at this moment, you unlock the power of Jesus' shalom that he already said, I've given it to you. You have it, whether you believe it or not. If you're born again, he said, here, my peace, I'm giving to you. The very same peace I used here, I didn't get shaken up when the devil attacked. I didn't get all alarmed and in a huff when things didn't work out like I expected at the moment. I learned to just live in the moment and relax and let go and be still and let God be God, and He'll ordain my steps. And I learned to live in shalom. And He said, this very gift that I had while I walked on the earth, even through the valley of the shadow of death, here, I want you to have this beautiful alabaster box of treasure, my peace. I give to you. And most people look at it and say, well, that's nice in Scripture. And they walk away without receiving it. Whatever situation you are in at this moment, unlock the power of Jesus shalom. When fears and worries are rising up around you, speak forth His shalom. He gave it to you, but you'll never believe that you really received it until you start speaking it out of your mouth. Shalom. I speak shalom to that. Fear will shut you up. Fear will shut you up. It'll shut off the valve of peace. Fear will shut you up. It'll shut off the valve of peace. It'll lock up the peace that God has given you and keep it from flowing. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Scripture said, and Scripture, you need to put the Scripture up with me, John 20. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, everybody say the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. And why were the doors shut? Next two words, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came, and in the very first appearance there to this whole group of disciples, the resurrected Jesus said these first words. What did He say? Shalom be with you. They were locked up because of fear. Fear will lock you up. And Jesus comes and He says, peace. Don't be afraid. Do you think that the woman who had the child who died in her arms was not grieving? Certainly she was. Do you think she didn't have fearful thoughts? The devil wanted to shut her mouth with fear. Instead, she used her mouth as a weapon, and she spoke peace to her situation. Have the doctors given you a bad report? Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes you were healed. So, speak peace over that report. Like baking soda on acid, that's what peace does. When you speak peace, it neutralizes the acid. Are you struggling with finances? Don't allow the enemy to shut your mouth in fear. Open your mouth and declare what God has already promised He's given you. Say, shalom! Like a blanket. Cover all those bills. They're still there. But you're using your mouth as a weapon. Instead of using it as a weapon against you, you're using it as a weapon against the enemy. Now, first prophetic word was this: be still in your worries and fears. Have I not brought you this far? I will continue to carry you. Hallelujah. Second prophetic word was this: be at peace. My peace. Be strong in who you are. And third prophetic word was simply this: don't allow what you feel to keep you from what I have. God lives in born-again people. 24/7, He's inside you. Everywhere we go, He's with us. You begin to live in the Spirit, and begin to live in the Spirit-led life when you start to pay attention to His presence during the day. You look and you listen. You're paying attention. God's in you. He's also around you. And He wants you to look around and pay attention to things that He's showing you. Things He's talking to you about, maybe through an example, maybe through a person. I had this phrase come to me the other day, and I knew it was the Lord. And this is the phrase the Lord gave me. Glean the fields while you work. You probably need to read the book of Ruth, 4 chapters. It'd be a good idea to read that today. And there you'll discover the story of a woman who wasn't even in the covenant. She was a Moabite woman. Her husband dies. Her father-in-law dies. And she attaches herself to be loyal to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And they move back to Jerusalem because there was a famine in the land. And the welfare system of that day was if you farmed land, whether it be grapes or barley or wheat, whatever it was, you would not harvest the corners. You would leave the corners so that the poor people at the end of the day could come out and they could get some grain or get some barley or get some grapes. And that was the welfare system of the day. And Ruth and Naomi were on welfare, trying to make it. And Ruth is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. Not that we're on welfare, but we are dependent. Boaz is a picture and a type of Jesus. Jesus is our heavenly Boaz, our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. And so Boaz learned about Ruth and what a wonderful woman she was and how loyal she was to her mother-in-law. And he says to his workers, now listen, guys. When you see this woman coming to glean in the fields, you leave her alone, for one. He protected her. Number two, you make sure you leave some handfuls on purpose. In other words, you leave a little extra out there in the field so that when she comes, she'll go, whoa, wow, look at this. She'll find more than she would have found because you're leaving some handfuls on purpose. Give me a couple more minutes. So when she'd go out there, she'd find us. She'd go, wow, this is a favor of God. God has some handfuls on purpose. It's right in your daily path. It's in your everyday work. It's in the field. It's while you're working, while you're going about your business, while you're doing the everyday mediocre mundane tasks that you do. You go to the store, you wash the clothes, you do the dishes, you take the kids, you run errands, you do all this. It's out there. And all of a sudden, you're going to run across a handful on purpose and you're going to say, oh, my, look at this. And it may be a revelation of who God is. It may be a word that God speaks to you. It may be that God crosses your path with somebody who desperately was crying out for help at the moment. And there you are, handfuls on purpose. God ordained your path. He put you where He wanted you to meet people. He put you where He wanted you to discover things. He put you someplace where He wanted you to muse and let the fire burn inside you because you see something that other people passing by don't see. You are listening to God. You're learning from God. You're realizing that there are handfuls on purpose in every day of your life, every circumstance. There are things for you to discover about God that you would never know. And if you're in a hurry, if you can't be still, you ain't going to find it. You'll go through your day, another day, another day, another day, and you have missed handfuls on purpose that God put right there. That was your divine appointment. That was your ministry moment. That was your life changer. That's where you were supposed to experience God. That's where, right there. The daily parables that God's trying to teach you. part of the prophetic word was this: your feelings can keep you from what God has for you. Healing is an example. I hear the word about healing and I believe it. And I claim it and I speak it. But after a while, I don't see any fruit. I don't see any manifestation of healing. The devil's throwing fiery darts. Aha! This is my moment. And he's throwing fiery darts at your mind to affect your feelings. And the first dart he throws makes you waver. Man, it hits you. Whoa! Well, and then you say with your mouth, well, why am I not healed? You've been hit with a fiery dart and you're wavering because you spoke those words. Second fiery dart, boom, he does it again. And now you go, it hasn't worked for me. And here's where God speaks to you just like he spoke to Adam and Eve. When they said they're hiding from God, and he said, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, we're hiding because we're naked. And God asked the question, who told you you were naked? Now, he knew, but he wanted them to realize who told him that. In the same way, God says, who told you you're not healed? Who told you it's not working? Who told you? Well, it's been a long time. Nothing's happened. Bible says in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Well, Lord, how long is it? And if you quit believing God, what do you have? Nothing. God's word never fails. Do we believe that? It always comes to pass. Do we believe that? He has 100% faithfulness rating. Do we believe that? Then why do you let your feelings keep you from what God has for you? I'm talking to myself. What does God have for us? Jesus said it this way. Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, all you that weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You believe that? Yes. If you'll agree with me, I'll be done quicker. So, literal Greek translation, what Jesus' words were saying was this: I will rest you. I will rest you. In your trouble, in your pain, in your difficulty, when you don't see anything changing, I will rest you. He himself will rest you for all the things that you need. For those of you who say, well, I wish I could get a prophetic word like the preacher said, you know, his son gave him and different people. I wish God would give me a prophetic word from the Lord. Here it is. Here it is. I'm now prophesying this word to you. Stand for a moment. Stand with me. Close your eyes and receive this word from the Lord to your life. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Here you go. Just open your hands up as if as an act of receiving too. Just believe and hear and receive. Here it is. I am here. I am with you. I want you to trust me and make your mind and flesh be still and know that I am God. Be still in your worries and your fears. Have I not brought you this far? I will continue to carry you. Be at peace, my peace. Be strong in who you are. Do not allow how you feel to keep you from what I have. Now look at me for a moment. Is this a prophetic word for you? Don't answer. You be the judge. If it is, then you need to do more than just hear it. You need to go over it and over it, ponder it, muse it, until the fire starts to burn with specific application for your life. Make changes in your life by using what God is saying to you, and He's continuing to say. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard, but right now hearing. Okay? Altar workers, you can come up here and assist me this morning. We're going to pray for anybody that needs prayer. We're going to, if anybody would like to receive the Lord Jesus and hasn't done that as Lord and Savior life, or to make that sure, then this is the time to respond. Come up, we'll talk with you, explain the gospel to you, lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus if you haven't done that, and we'll settle that issue once and for all. Others of you, you need someone to agree with you in prayer about something. Well, we're human, and sometimes we do need a human touch. That's why I think God says, you know, sometimes people's faith level is at a place where it says, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sometimes you need somebody to lay hands on you. That's okay. Just receive it. Just receive it. I'm going to pray for you. You respond however the Lord leads you. If nothing else, just come to the altar and talk to God about something you just heard. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word. It's been released. It will not return void. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this people. Now, Lord, help us to be good believers and good receivers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.